This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Thursday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May the 3rd, episode 1926. Well, normally the first Thursday of every month is the draft horse episode, but this month they have the month off and we're looking at coming back next month, possibly on a different day of the month. We're working out the details right now, but for this month, after many years of doing the draft horse episode, they get a month off. And I thought I would treat you today to something that has been so much fun for me and for Jimmy to do, and that's the Finding Florida podcast. If you haven't listened yet, or if you're a regular listener, then maybe skip ahead till tomorrow. Remember, we have really bad ads, so make sure to send your ads to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. And we'll be doing a lot of coverage of badminton and the Derby and everything tomorrow. We're going to have a lot of guests, so look forward to that. But if you have not heard the Finding Florida podcast yet, it doesn't matter whether you're interested in Florida or not, or whether you live in Florida or not. It's just a fun show about travel and adventure. We have a great time. I think I broke anything on this particular trip that I'm going to play for you here. It's our latest episode of Finding Florida podcast that I do with my co-host Jemmy on the Florida Podcast Network. But it was a lot of fun. We went to Tampa and we did the river walk and we met a lot of cool people, including another host here on the Horse Radio Network, which you'll hear. But it was a great time. We hope you enjoy it. This is just a little light, fun entertainment for your Thursday. Thursday, you know, it's the day before Friday and everybody's just trying to get through it. And I think that this will help you get through it while we have a kind of an off day here at Horses in the Morning. Tomorrow morning, back with Jamie, Jen, and myself, and with a look at the Derby and at badminton in England. And, you know, a little really bad ads, and we're going to be giving away the prizes this episode tomorrow, too. So here, I hope you enjoy episode 7B of the Finding Florida podcast as we took on Tampa Bay.
The Florida Podcast Network, the voice of Florida. This is episode 7B of the Finding Florida Podcast on the Florida Podcast Network, walking the Tampa Riverwalk.
We hope you're ready for an adventure.
Welcome to Finding Florida, the podcast that takes you from country to the coast. Join your tour guides, an unlikely pair, City Girl Jemmy and Country Boy Glenn, as they explore the amazing sights and sounds of the Sunshine State.
Last month, we spent some time with the Seminole Tribe at Billy Swamp Safari. If you missed it, go back and take a listen to episodes 6A and 6B. They were our most popular episodes yet. If you have not heard them, go back and take a listen.
This month, we take you to the biggest city on the Gulf Coast, Tampa, for a little walk on the river. Can we walk the 2.4 miles of the beautiful Tampa Riverwalk and accomplish 10 fun things in one day, including a meetup with fellow podcasters and friends? Well, stay tuned to find out.
As always, you can find pictures and videos in our show notes and on social media and YouTube.
Well, it's a beautiful Saturday in April here. It's about 9 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. We are at the Le Meridien Hotel, which is...
For people who have a French accent.
Yes.
Le Meridien.
Le Meridien Hotel. And we have a fun day for you today. We're doing the River Walk, which is here in Tampa. It obviously goes along the river. And it's about...
I think they got that.
So we are at the Le Meridien Hotel, and this all has been set up by our friend Kevin over at Visit Tampa.
Kevin Wachrowski, you are the bomb.
You really are.
My goodness, he really, you would have thought he was on our staff.
I know. He worked endlessly to get this whole day set up. All these interviews you're going to hear today, we have a lot of interviews scheduled.
Yes.
All these interviews you're going to hear today, the food, the hotel, everything was planned and organized by Kevin at Visit Tampa Bay.
Including the stay here at Le Meridien, which is an amazing hotel. Oh my gosh. I have to mention, we just had breakfast here. Even if you don't stay here, which you should because it's awesome, and Steve's about to tell you why, you have to at least have breakfast here. I had some of those delicious pancakes. I've ever had. And the bacon was cooked exactly as I like it. Extra crispy. Potatoes were yummy. Yours looked amazing. And Courtney was a phenomenal server.
I ate the healthy
server.
Fruit breakfast while she ate the pancakes and bacon breakfast. I'll have you know.
Because my trips are my splurge days. Bite me.
So we had a chance to catch up with Steve, the bell captain, when he brought our bags up to our rooms yesterday. And he was such a character. We had to interview him about the hotel. Mm-hmm. And we were in the ballroom, so it's a little echoey. But
he's our random find.
He is
he
our random
we
find.
We even got started.
He was terrific. So Steve's going to tell us a little bit about
La Meridian.
La Meridian.
Guys, La Meridian.
You'd think I'd had a martini for breakfast.
601 North Florida Avenue, just in case.
Yes,
you can't
that's
Google
right.
Meridian.
That's right. Can't spell it. We're here with Steve, and we're at the La Meridian Hotel in Tampa. Mm-hmm. And how long have you been here?
At the hotel, just over 3 years.
3 years. But you said you're third generation living in Tampa.
Third generation.
They came when it started.
That's right. That's right. My great-great-grandparents came from Sicily to Ybor City.
Oh, really?
And then Ybor City to West Tampa.
Now, he is our random find today because we were just standing around admiring the unbelievably incredible architecture of this place, and you started telling us some facts and then more facts. I'm like, wait a minute. We need to actually get these on recording. I mean, what is it about this place that you love, and how does it tie into the history of Tampa?
Well, just being born and raised here and then being able to work here, it's you get that feeling. Yeah,
because
I know my parents.
Because this was, the hotel was?
The federal courthouse.
For a lot of years.
Yeah.
This was built in 1905.
So it's, and then when did it?
And it also housed Tampa's first post office.
Oh, wow.
Oh, and when did it stop being a federal courthouse?
1998.
Oh, so
recent.
Yeah, pretty recent.
1998, and then the hotel, coming up this June 2018, will be our 4-year anniversary.
Oh my gosh.
Did it sit empty for that?
It sat empty for them years.
So it had some renovation to do.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I think it took just under 2.5 years and over $25 million.
Now, we're standing, and the reason it sounds hollow to everybody is we're standing in the ballroom, which was the main federal courtroom.
This was the main federal courtroom.
So now it's called the courthouse ballroom, I saw.
It's the courthouse ballroom, which we have wedding receptions, and whatever.
Let's describe it a little bit. It still has the original, I assume, old woodwork on the walls, like a courtroom would.
Like what you would see behind that big, massive judge's bench.
Yep.
That is still up there with a huge eagle crest over it.
It's the federal seal.
Looks beautiful.
The golden federal seal. Yeah, it really is.
And the ceilings are like 18, 20 feet tall.
At least. I mean, this is
crazy.
We're
on the fourth floor, right?
This is the fourth floor.
And what is it that you said was about the fourth floor? Was where the criminals came or something, or the... There's something interesting you said about the fourth floor.
They have a lot of big trials here.
Oh, the big trials, okay.
Yeah, so a lot of the famous
mafia trials.
The mafia trials. Yeah. Oh. Yeah,
big troublemakers seem to come on the fourth floor.
Yeah, if you got in trouble, you came to the fourth floor.
But what's really cool, too, the windows are huge, like the old buildings were in those days. They
had
big, tall windows that are at least 10 feet tall.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
And it has a real high ceiling, and everything in the hallways is marble.
You were saying that they weren't allowed to take down any of the walls or anything like that when they...
With it being under historic code, you're not allowed to do hardly anything. It is really tough. It's a specialized field. Moving walls, you can't cut down walls, you can't cut into walls. All the rooms that we have, they were offices, and they just added bathrooms. Like the elevators now, we could use them a little bigger, but you can't make the elevators
we
bigger.
Barely fit the three of us in our luggage.
Yeah, we got in there like, wait a minute.
This has to be an original elevator.
Yeah, but you're not allowed to.
Yeah.
But the lobby is in what was the basement.
That was the basement of the courthouse, and that's where the post office used to be.
But it's so interesting because when you walk in there, there's that long, just perfectly, you know, the perfect perspective, perfectly angled hallway with the thick, it just was beautiful. The fact that you can walk in here and just see the architecture,
imagine
all the other souls that have been in here before. Yeah.
It's a great contrast from the first floor for the rest of the hotel because the first floor was considered the basement.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't anything historical to preserve. So they went more modern.
Yeah, it's very modern.
But it fits with the hotel now. And if you go up to the rest of the floors, as you've seen with the terrazzo and
I just want to clarify too. Jemmy was not in handcuffs.
No, not this time. thankfully. And behind us, through this huge window, like Glenn was mentioning, is a major cathedral. Or what? Tell us about this building we're seeing.
This is a Sacred Heart Catholic Church. And this is the oldest church on the west coast of Florida.
Really?
I believe it was started in 1860 by the Jesuits.
Wow.
And they finished in 1895.
Wow.
Which would be 10 years before this courthouse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're still in use today?
Still in use. Yeah. Packed every Sunday.
It is gorgeous. Week, so. You're saying it's a total photo op when it gets dark.
Up here in the ballroom to look at it at night. It's
With the stained glass windows.
With the stained glass windows, it's absolutely beautiful.
Are there any ghost stories that come out of this place? Too scary to tell?
I haven't seen any personally. That's the best I can tell you. But I don't know about everybody else.
Everybody else, gotcha. Okay, duly noted.
Well, this is great. Thank you so much for telling us a little bit about the hotel we're going to be staying in tonight. We really appreciate it.
Great.
The rooms are beautiful. The rooms are beautiful and huge.
And we were treated to glasses of bottles. Wow, I wish. Glasses of champagne.
We're great.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
So this hotel.
Le Méridien.
Thank you. It's part of a chain, actually. There are over 100 hotels and 35 countries, but they're all kind of different and high-end like this. I was looking through the list, and it's, this isn't high-end expensive-wise, but it's, you get that feeling when you're here because it's all the courthouse marble and doors.
We were greeted with champagne. I mean,
that was Jemmy's favorite thing, valet and champagne.
I'm still beside myself and looking for more.
She's heading down to the front desk now to see if she can find some more.
In fact, I'm going to walk back into the Bizou morning. Brasserie where we had breakfast and say, hey, is there more champagne you can give me?
So we are now heading out. We're going to catch a ride, hopefully from the hotel or Uber or somebody, and we're heading over to the Riverwalk. And we're actually going to start the day today with a little bit of history. We're heading to the American Victory ship, and we're supposed to get a quick tour and an interview there. And Gary Brooks, hopefully, will show us around the American Victory ship, which dates back a long way.
Yeah. We got a sneak peek of the American Victory ship when Jordan and I came up for a visit, and we got to see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra and all that stuff back in, November? So we got to just kind of see it from afar, so it's going to be really exciting to actually see it up close this time.
One of only four fully operational World War II merchant steamships in the United States, the American Victory ship is considered a national and local treasure.
So we are at our first stop on our adventure today of the Riverwalk in Tampa, and I think we're actually a little bit further than the Riverwalk. We're about to hit it soon. But we are at the Victory ship, the American Victory ship, and we just got a tour of it with Gary here, who's also the chaplain of the Victory ship. Now, I don't see any people on board. Is it a lonely job being chaplain?
No, there's lots of people on board. Sometimes we have 25, 50 people that come on board at a time with groups.
Now, you mentioned it's also nicknamed the ghost ship. And so are you a chaplain for anybody on the other side?
No. I tend to the living.
That's good. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the Victory ship. It was a World War II ship, right?
Yes, it was. They built Liberty ships throughout the war, and they built 2,710 Liberties. They were five-year ships. They were built the last 5 years.
Cargo haulers.
They were cargo haulers, as is this one. The Victory ships are 455 feet length overall and with a 62-foot beam. And
How many tanks did you say it could carry? It was a lot.
I was told 400 light tanks, Stuart tanks from World War II.
That's amazing how many tanks it can carry. So now, there are not too many of these. This one is still seaworthy, and you take it out a couple times a year, which is unusual. How many of these are left that can actually float?
There's three of them that are still floating.
Yeah.
You said floating. Okay. Yeah. One of them is a display vessel, and that's the Red Oak Victory, and she's in Richmond, California. She was the first of the three that survivors that still was built. Then the Lane Victory is in San Pedro, California. She's identical to this ship. And then the American Victory is here. The American Victory is named after the American University in Washington, D.C. And many of the Victory ships were named after allied countries like the USSR Victory, the Sierra Leone Victory, the Canada Victory. Mentioning the Canada Victory, during the battle for Okinawa, we lost three Victory ships to kamikazes, and one of them was the Canner Victory, the Hobbs Victory, and the Logan Victory were lost to kamikazes. In Vietnam, we lost one of these. From what I understand, we lost one to mines in the Saigon River.
So now how many crew would be on a ship like this?
During wartime, there were 38 in the crew.
Which doesn't seem like a lot.
No, it's merchant marine. It's not a naval ship, so it's merchant marine. unassisted, unaccompanied by anyone. She just went straight across from Los Angeles all the way to Leyte. And she was being loaded in by with cargo on the 25th of June of 45, and she was in the Philippines in Leyte by the 25th of July, from 25th of June to the 25th of July.
And you were showing us some more recent additions that have been put on the ship, like the little benches that are outside, and you were explaining that those were to accommodate current passengers.
Yes.
And that you guys take the ship out on cruises a couple times a year. What are those about?
We take them out on, like, in the first week of December, we have a Pearl Harbor Memorial cruise. We always try to do that. And then if we can, we like to go out in April or May each year. I'm not sure what's going to happen this year, but I know we're supposed to go out in
and
December.
And anybody can sign up for that and come on
yes,
board and pay
yes,
for
they
it.
Yes, they can.
I get the emails. That's why I always wanted to do it.
Yeah, they can
That'd
do it.
Be pretty
we've,
cool.
we've had as many as 600, I think, with maximum, if I remember, 605 people on
wow.
board. But that includes crew, staff, and passengers.
And you also have reenactors that come on board?
Yes. They would be considered part of our staff when we go out on a cruise like that.
The
musician. It'd be like, it's like a cruise, but it made me appreciate how hard those guys work on those cruise ships. Because I'm exhausted by the time we get done with one of our cruises.
It would be fun to go out on this ship, though, and that's pretty neat. But people can tour it any day, right?
Every day. She's open every day. On Sunday and Monday, she's only open from 12 to 5. Every other day, she's open from 10 until 5 in the afternoon.
And it's amazing. This ship is big, but dwarfed in size by the cruise ships, which makes you realize how really big they are.
Yeah, the one up here is the Carnival Paradise. I think she's 70,367 tons. It's her gross register tonnage, and ours is 7,638 on this particular ship. Most of these were 7,612, and that one is exactly 400 feet longer than the American Victory. She's 855
feet.
I've been on one of those really big carriers before, like one of those massive ones before. And so it's a totally different experience being on this ship. But this, I was really impressed and had to find my vertigo, but I was really impressed with the engine room. And you're explaining how hot does it get? Would it get in there?
Where we were on this level, it would be 120 degrees.
Jeez.
And loud. I imagine it was loud.
It's loud, but it wasn't terribly
loud. It's a diesel
engine,
right?
It's a steam turbine.
Steam turbine. Yeah. Now, we'll have to wrap here, but tell everybody, in case you're, you know, complaining about the price of gas going up again, how much fuel did this use?
I understand she burned 40 to 50 tons every 24 hours and a barrel of fuel per mile.
That's a 55-gallon drum?
Yeah.
Per mile.
Yeah, and every time the screw turns, every time the propeller turns, we call it a screw, and airplanes are called a propeller. It has a 17-foot, 6-inch pitch. So that means that the ship moves forward 17 feet, 6 inches, not counting slippage, which might be the current working against you.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. That's a lot of fuel.
Is there a website where people can find out more information about the ship?
AmericanVictory.org.
AmericanVictory.org. Okay.
Yeah,
so AmericanVictory.org. That's where they can find more information. And it's right beside the aquarium. You can't miss it. So if you're coming to the Tampa Aquarium, you're going to find this. If you're coming to the cruise, on either of the cruise ships, you're going to see it right here. You do find lots of signs for it.
It's hidden behind the aquarium.
Yeah, it is. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Glad to have you aboard.
If there is magic on this planet, it exists underwater. The Florida Aquarium, Channelside, Tampa.
Well, we just came from the American Victory ship, ran over to stop number 2 on our hit parade today, and we're going to hit the Riverwalk next, but we can't come to Tampa without stopping at the aquarium. And we actually, Jemmy and I had a chance before the TSO concert to come over the winter, and we had a great time here, and then her 5-year-old had a wonderful time here.
Yes.
So it was so much fun. But we are here with Caitlin, and Caitlin is the communications manager.
Yes, I am.
It's busy today. What's going on?
It is great. So today is our Sea Turtle Days. And what that is we have 3 different weekends dedicated to our conservation efforts. So what a lot of people don't know is Aquarium is a nonprofit organization, and we do a lot of conservation work, as well as all of the awesome fun activities and exhibits you can see. We do a lot of stuff in the field to kind of help our animals get rescue, rehab, released back into the ocean. So we've done coral days, we've done Shark Days, and today is Sea Turtle Days.
Yay!
So we are highlighting all the amazing work that our veterinarian staff does to do rescue, rehab, release for sea turtles.
I may or may not have a tattoo of a sea turtle because they may or may not be one of my favorites.
She has a crush on sea turtles.
Yes! So I've got Dr. Ari here. He's one of our veterinarians, and he can tell you a little bit about our rescue, rehab, release programs.
Dr. Ari, first question is, do you have a tattoo of a sea turtle?
I do not.
Ah, you are behind the times, my man.
Not as dedicated as me, obviously. Sea turtle.
So, yeah, we do a lot of work here with sea turtles. We've been doing it for a number of years, and our goal is to sort of bring animals in that are injured or sick. Try to get them back on their feet and get them back out there into the wild. And failing that, we do have some cases where animals are non-releasable, and then hopefully we're at least able to give them a home or find a place where they can live out the rest of their lives.
Sea turtles, there are a lot of sea turtles in Florida, too.
There are. Yeah, we have five species found in local waters and three that actually nest on beaches here in the state of Florida.
We know that nesting has always been a tricky thing. You know, it's very hard, very few of the little babies actually grow up and make it. So what do you guys have a hand in helping with nesting or helping get information out there to people to learn how they cannot interfere with the nesting season?
Sure. That's always a sort of a mission and a goal for any rehab program is to get that message out there. People who come here for Sea Turtle Days today will hear all about that. Yeah, baby sea turtles already sort of have a tough life. They're food for everything from the start. And then when you start to add in things like competition for real estate, bright lights leading the way from the beach and things like that, they definitely need people to be aware of those risks and do what we can to sort of mitigate them. The things that are impacting them are not huge, too big to manage issues. It can be something as simple as using a reusable shopping bag or not getting a straw with your drive-through drink. These are little actions that can have a huge impact out there in the lives of sea turtles everywhere.
And most of your rescues come from the beaches?
We get a mix of turtles both locally, as well as we play home to a lot of turtles that get cold stunned up north during the winter that just need a place to recuperate for a couple months.
It's like a spa.
Exactly.
For turtles. It's like a hot springs for turtles.
Yeah. Well, all right, we can't thank you enough for taking time. We know you have to run. What are you running off to do right now?
I have an 11:30 talk, giving a lecture about sea turtles to the guests up in the main viewing gallery.
See, this is real, guys. We actually come and interrupt people's days.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Ari.
Thank you, Ari.
Thank
Dr.
you.
Ari.
All right, thanks a lot.
So what are some of the other programs that people can come and see when they come as visitors? I mean, there's a lot of education that's involved in a place like an aquarium.
Like any given day. What do you got going on?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a few behind-the-scenes activities that guests can do. It's an added cost to your general admission. But we have a Penguins Backstage Pass, which is one of my favorites. Yes. And it's a really fun way to really get close to the penguins. You can touch them. You can learn from them from a biologist. And, of course, everything we do here is fun and educational. So our penguins are African penguins, and they are an endangered species. So we kind of let our guests know what we do to help conserve those animals and what they can do to make better choices as well.
So where can people find out more?
If you go to flaquarium.org, you can learn all about us. And if you have any questions,
and you're open every day.
Just every day, 9:30 to 5.
Very good. Now, have you ever done the river walk from one end to the other?
I have not made it all the way through. Maybe like halfway, but not the whole way.
All right.
Sounds like she gets herself stuck at the cocktails at Sail Pavilion.
Yeah,
in
Sail Pavilion. She's
done.
Man.
All
right. Thank you, Caitlin.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having us.
Come on over to Channelside in downtown Tampa and experience the wonders of the aquatic world right here at the Florida Aquarium.
All right. So we have just finished up at the aquarium, and I really wanted to start recording here and tell everybody what we're doing. We're walking through.
We're walking through the crazy people who are getting on a cruise right
on
now.
On cruise.
So excited.
But, guys, it is a gorgeous day down here in Tampa. And if you come down here, you're going to be in the middle of a hustle and bustle with an aquarium on one side, a historic ship on another side, and then all the fun treats that we're about to see on the Riverwalk not far away. And we're walking there now, and it's just a gorgeous, fun day of being outside in the Florida sunshine. So I just really wanted to impress upon everybody to go outside, enjoy Florida. There's so much to do that you can walk around and explore and enjoy, and this is just one of them, the Riverwalk.
Here we go. Here we go. Riverwalk.
But what's this?
A sail! A sail 2 foot starboard! new Treasure Seekers, Conquistadors, Pirates, and Shipwrecks exhibition that is just opened here at the History Center. It's a permanent addition to the History Center and what we offer.
Tampa Bay History Center.
After having just got on the Riverwalk.
We are officially on the Riverwalk.
We are on the Riverwalk
now. We're invading. There's nothing you can do about
it. We only have eight more stops to go after this one, and it's 2.5 miles away.
Exactly. So, and speaking of invading,
can you have the wheelchair delivered to about 2 miles for me?
You'll need it by the time the day is over. But yeah, we are now in the Pirate Center of this place. This is amazing. There is a huge ship behind us. We are talking with Andrea Knowles, and we have our friend Diane, who's with us here too. Say hi, Diane.
Hey.
She's very enthusiastic. Yeah. So, oh my gosh. This is a very new exhibit, right? How long has this been around?
It is. So we opened in mid-February.
And what can they come see here? There's like every square inch of this wall is taken up by something fun to see.
Right. So in our new Treasure Seekers Gallery, we have added about 8,500 square feet to the museum.
Which is huge to begin with.
Yeah.
We do. We have 3 floors in total. You're going to see all kinds of things throughout the rest of the museum, like exhibits about Florida's Pioneer Days and the Seminole Wars, Tampa's Ybor City. So you're going to see a lot. But up here, we really focus on the pirate story. So that's shipwrecks, conquistadors, and maritime.
Those that don't know, they have one of the biggest pirate festivals in the country.
The Gasparilla.
Gasparilla. There might be a little drinking going on then, but people do love their pirates in Tampa.
And not only is it the one of the largest pirate festivals, it's the parade itself is the 3rd largest parade period in the United States, which I thought was mind blowing. So there's a lot of history with pirates in this place.
It is. So, you know, we started talking to our visitors and our members, and what we found out through those discussions is they really wanted to see more about pirates and the connection in the Tampa Bay area to pirates. So we have an obvious popular culture tie, as what you just mentioned, the Gasparilla Festival, but also, of course, our beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yes!
Our football team.
Go Bucks!
That little team.
That little team. But, you know, a little known fact is that there were, you know, several actual shipwrecks off the coast of Florida, mm-hmm. in the Gulf of Mexico, where there's been lots of recovery. And so the shipwreck efforts and kind of the piracy tie may be a little, you know, far-fetched, but we're definitely...
Blackbeard did not bury his treasure here as far as we know.
Wait a minute. In those shipwrecks, are there any down there that still could have treasure? Because I'll get my hair wet for that. I'll go down there and try to find some.
Well, you know, they are still finding some. And actually, interestingly, the state of Florida does get to keep 20% of anything that has been found in waters, even through private collection efforts. So a lot of what you'll see up here in Treasure Seekers are those things that have been recovered from the state of Florida's collection. They've got an extensive collection.
So they don't just get the monetary value, they get 20% of the actual item.
The stuff, the booty. But we have to use the right terms when we're talking about booty. Pirates, okay?
No, he just wanted an excuse to use the word booty, let's be honest.
Right.
I often wonder, with museums like this, and this is a large museum, where do you find your stuff?
Well, that's a good question. We have a lot of private kind of donors. You know, we have one of the largest and most extensive map collections of the Southeast United States, largely Florida, Florida maps and maps of the Caribbean here, because one of our donors is a huge map collector. So we really hang our hat on our map collection. But other than that, we do get it from other various donors, their private collections, state of Florida. We have some things on loan. We are a Smithsonian Institution affiliate, so we borrow some.
What does that mean? I read that all the time, but what does it actually mean?
Yeah, Diane told us about that. Yeah. What does that mean?
So it means we have a relationship with the Smithsonian Institutions in Washington, D.C. They kind of, you know, we passed through a program where they accredited us, so they kind of agree with our practices and what we're doing here at the History Center. But we are allowed to borrow artifacts from their collections.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, you know, the Smithsonian has the hugest...
A few items.
Yeah. It's a huge collection. So we're very thankful for that partnership because we are able to have access to a lot of really neat items.
You know, tell us a little bit more about what else they can find at the
Sure.
Center.
So we like to consider... We do have a version of the Columbia Restaurant, the Columbia Cafe, downstairs here on our first floor.
Why is that important?
It's important. We like to look at it as an extension of the experience. So we want you to be fully immersed.
Why is the Columbia restaurant important?
It was the first restaurant in the state of Florida.
Ah!
And of course, they have several things there that they're well known for, including their 1905 salad, their Cuban sandwich.
The lettuce has been around since 1905.
You're trying that.
But we do like for our visitors to come and just feel immersed in the Tampa Bay and in the culture here. And having that Columbia Cafe is really an extension of that experience.
And it's so cool because the Riverwalk does, we're at the south end and we're heading north throughout the day. And the Riverwalk goes right by it. So you can't, you have to almost stop here. because the restaurant smells good and looks good right from the Riverwalk. You got that too. And then the museum's right here too. So it is a great way to start your Riverwalk day.
And I also want to mention it at the very beginning of the Riverwalk, you have the 500 photographs by Bruce Marsh. You have those historic bronze busts that show different people in throughout Tampa's history, and you have the Heroes Plaza, which is full of a wonderful memorial to veterans and other people who have served this country. So there's so much already at the beginning before you even get to the actual center that talks about the actual history. There's so much here, and this is just another great place, to be on a Saturday.
Great, I'm glad you feel that way.
Oh, I was going to say, well, Andrea, we can't thank you enough for taking some time. I know it was kind of last minute. You kind of stepped in here. We appreciate it so much. And where can people find out more information?
Great. So you can go to our website, www.tampabayhistorycenter.org. We've just renewed our website with a brand new kind of to match the face of this new treasure.
It's really
it's an
nice.
Awesome
it, is,
website.
It is a good website.
Great. Thank you so much. So we've got a lot of great resources there. Other than that, you can call us 813-228-0097. Extension 0 to reach the visitor services desk. They can answer any questions you might have. Additionally, just come down and see us.
This is terrific. We're at the beginning of the Riverwalk at stop number 3. Stop number 4 is going to be food.
And drinks.
Now that you made us hungry.
And
then we're heading over to it's called the Sail Pavilion. And we're meeting a bunch of podcasters there, and friends of ours are going to be meeting there. We can't drink too much. The next thing we're supposed to do is those bikes you have to pedal on the water.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So, I don't think we can drink too much.
Won't end well.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
So we are walking here up
on the
Riverwalk.
By the very expensive boats.
Well, that's what's awesome about this river. It literally is a pathway.
Yes.
It really is literally a pathway. And it takes you through, past the boats and the museum and the aquarium and the History Center. And now, we're walking past a big
names, by the way.
Marina of yachts.
But we're walking by Last Minute to Play.
Brenda Marie, Beyond the Sea, Rendezvous.
So
a bunch of nice little boats here, but little, when I say little, but still expensive, I'm sure.
The $1 million ride.
So we're making our way right now to Sail Pavilion. We're running about 2-3 minutes late. I need to explain to the people why. I had to get a Cuban sandwich at Columbia Cafe. There was no way I was walking past Columbia Cafe and not having a Cuban sandwich. So it is in my hand, and I'm going to go enjoy it when we meet our friends at Sail Pavilion.
So that's where we're headed to next.
Yeah!
Sail Pavilion.
And once again...
What's the Sail Pavilion again? What's the Sail Pavilion again?
Oh, it's a beautiful place where you get food and drink, and it's next to all the beautiful yachts in the Tampa Bay Harbor, whatever we call it over here, by the Riverwalk.
And where are you from, Diane?
Georgia.
Yeah, right.
Hey, everybody. This is Kyle Sasser of the Great Things Tampa Bay podcast, and I'm here with Glenn and Jimmy of Finding Florida podcast, and we're here with some other local Tampa folks.
Yeah, we are.
Podcasters.
Yep, local podcasters. And we'll just go around the table and...
Steve.
I'm from the Mardi Blue on the Appalachian Trail podcast.
And he actually did hike the entire Appalachian Trail.
I did indeed.
Yes, he did.
It was fun.
Yes.
Exhausting, fun, and it broke me.
Yes, exactly.
But he lived to tell about it.
That's what they always say after they did it. It was fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's a great show. I listened to it since day one. Since episode 1 on your
show. You shower on a Thursday morning with me, apparently.
Yeah, I shower every Thursday. Thursday morning with Steve. That
not
is correct.
Not
I do.
Not weird at all. Me and Dave Jackson.
I don't shower with Stephanie, however.
I have breakfast with Stephanie on a regular basis, so let's talk to Stephanie.
Stephanie, who are you with?
Hi, I'm Stephanie, and I have a podcast on the Horse Radio Network called Arabian Racing Radio, or Arr, which is perfect because we're in Pirate Town right now.
Arr. Arr.
And we just got started a few months ago. So,
and what do you talk about? Arabian racing.
We talk about Arabian racing, which is the niche of a niche of a niche. Yeah. But it's getting bigger every day because the podcast is very popular.
Yeah. Cool.
Great. And we like over that. Here taking a bunch of pictures for us is the other Steve.
Yes. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Got it. And then we have Diane, my friend for years here
in Tampa.
Hi, my friend, my virtual husband.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. My virtual husband, yeah. This is Diane Daniels with Weight Loss Nation and with the Weight Loss Nation Tampa Bay segment. Okay, we're on the Riverwalk, and did you know that it is 2.4 miles to go one way on the Riverwalk?
We're going
to
find out by the end of the day.
Right? So it's 2.4 miles, so if you walk the 2.4 miles, okay, you're going to probably burn about 200 to 500 calories.
I just ate that for lunch. That's depressing, Diane.
It's depressing, but you get all, look at this beautiful weather.
Oh, it's beautiful.
How can you beat this? Would you want to be in Minnesota right now?
No.
Exactly, right? So here we are in beautiful Tampa Bay. I mean, how can you not enjoy this?
You notice our show is not finding North Dakota.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. And I apologize. Yeah, next month we're heading to North Dakota. And I apologize to all our North Dakota listeners, but you really should be in Florida right now.
It's nothing personal.
Yes, right. All right, so let's go back to Tampa Bay. Tell us about your show.
All right,
Well, wait a minute.
Oh, wait.
He needs to introduce his wife.
Yeah, I was going to let him do that.
So this is my lovely wife and sometimes forced co-host, Abby Sasser. And,
that's how I got my wife into doing it full time, was I forced her.
There you go. I'm like, hey, you know, some people get paid for this. So my show is called
Not you, honey, but some people.
Yeah. So my show is called Great Things Tampa Bay, and I cover all of the great places to eat, great things to do, and I interview the great people in the greater Tampa Bay area.
How long have you been doing this?
I've had the podcast for a little over a year. We're up to 27 episodes now.
Way to go.
Twice a month?
Actually, I'm weekly now.
So. Weekly now, wow. Very good.
As y'all are finding, there's a ton of stuff to do.
There is a ton of stuff to do.
You're a perfect one to talk to about this. Why Tampa Bay?
I've lived here for 38 years.
Seems like an obvious choice then.
So, you know, just has that familiarity.
Why should people from where Jemmy lives on the East Coast come to Tampa?
Well, I can't tell you that compared to the East Coast of Florida, that the West Coast over here, we're a little bit more laid back. It's a little bit more, honest is not the right word, but just it's a little more chill and laid back. Like, people don't...
Genuine, maybe?
Yeah, they don't care as much as, say, Miami, you have to maintain, a certain...
Mm-hmm. So people in Tampa Bay don't give a crap about anything, is what you're telling me.
Yeah,
that's pretty much what I got out of that.
The rules are a little relaxed. Which is some people's cup of tea, and other people, they can't live that way, you know?
It's like a melting pot down here, just like it is in any big city, even in London, Steve.
It's
a big city, so you got people here from all over the United States and different parts of the world. So I feel like I'm back home in the big city, and we have areas that are rural, we got urban, we got city, you got the Yankees. You see what I'm saying? We got a lot of sports here.
Speaking of sports, what's going on? I'll play a bit of sound here for you of the rah-rah team going through.
The rah-rah team.
What is going on here today?
So we're actually at game two. This is the pregame for
the playoffs.
Yes, game two of the Tampa Bay Lightning playoff series against the New Jersey Devils.
Nice.
Okay, so and the Tampa Bay Lightning are who?
The local hockey team.
Okay, good. Thank you for everybody that didn't know. We had to kind of figure that out.
And they go by the Bolts, too, right?
Yeah. Yep. So the Bolts, that's like the Lightning Bolts.
Ah, got it now.
Let's go, Bolts! Let's go, Bolts! Let's go, Bolts!
Got a little template. So we have all these locals here, and I thought this would be the best opportunity to do a little bit of trivia about your town.
Oh, we'll see what you know about your own town. Your own town.
If you know the answer, you chime in with your name.
Your first name.
Yeah, and then we'll see if you know the answer. So,
I don't live it.
Close enough.
Close enough. You might know an answer. All right, we're ready?
Ready. The American victory. The American victory ship down the way here.
Which we were on first today.
Yes, it is a fully operational World War II ship. How many such fully operational World War II ships are there? Is it 4, 7, 9, or 12?
Still left.
Diane.
Diane.
7.
Steve, 9.
All right, end of guessing. There are four left.
There are four of those.
And you guys are lucky enough to have one right here.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. You can get a lot of exercise going up and down those steps. They're like this. Straight up and down, and up and down.
There is a photo display of Bruce Marsh on the Riverwalk South Plaza. Have you guys gotten a chance to go over there and see it?
No.
It's awesome. How many photos are in the photo display? Is it 100, 250, 333, or 550?
Yeah. 333. Steve.
550! These do get easier, guys. These do get easier. The Sail Pavilion, where we are at right now. Enjoying some cocktails and some treats. It was recently voted as the best dog-friendly bar.
And there's a dog right underneath Diane's legs right here.
In 2016. Is that true or false?
True.
That's true. Yeah.
Abby says false. It's true.
I was walking up there. I had to go. Excuse me. There were like 25 dogs just to get to the bar.
Dogs.
What's the dog's name underneath your
Smokey?
Yeah.
How old is Smokey?
7 months.
He's a puppy.
He is not leaving.
Smokey likes it here.
Okay. Next question is also true and false. Tampa Bay's Riverfront Festival Grounds, Curtis Hickson Waterfront Park, is an 8-acre park with splash fountains, a playground, and a dog park. So true or false?
True.
The park... That part was easy. The park has been closed to the public every Wednesday from noon to 4 p.m. for a regularly scheduled private scavenger hunt going on nearly 2 years.
Oh.
That's really cool. I don't know.
Yeah, true or false?
It's true or false. It's got to be true. It's got to be true.
Everybody said true.
It's false. I made it up.
That's wicked.
It sounded good.
All right, two more questions. The Gasparilla Pirate Fest includes a 4-mile long.
I got a question first before you start. Gasparilla Pirate Fest has one sober person at the end of it. Is that true or false?
False.
Correct. Right. There's no sober people.
Nobody. So it includes a 4-mile long parade of pirates, which is attended by 300,000 onlookers. So true or false, the Gasparilla Pirate Fest is the third largest parade in the United States.
True.
You heard me say that. Yeah.
Well, actually, it might be the third largest in the world, so that might not even be correct.
Oh, it might be in the world.
It is not the longest sidewalk, though.
No, it's definitely not the longest.
All right, last question, guys. Last chance to redeem yourselves. The peak year of 1929, how many cigars were hand-rolled in Tampa? Over 15 million? Over 50 million? Over 500 million? Or over 5 billion gajillion?
In 1929?
In 1929.
So this was a cigar. Tampa was cigar-rolling capital.
Yeah.
Hey, 15 million.
I gotta go.
15 million.
What's over 50 million?
50. I said 15 million, 50 million, 500 million, or 5 billion gajillion.
I like 5 billion gajillion.
I do.
I like 50.
15
is
50.
It's 500 million
gajillion. There must have been a cigar factory.
I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah. Honestly, all
because
the old
1929 was a crash. Like, people that worked their asses off, and they rolled, baby.
Wow. Can you imagine rolling cigars in the heat here? Oh, my God. They didn't have air conditioning back then.
No.
Are you going on that boat?
We're taking not that one.
Going?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that was wow. That was a wicked.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We're off.
Say bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. And we are at the Tampa Bay Water Bike Company, and this is honestly something we've never done before. So, what's your name?
My name is Ellie Whiteman.
Ellie?
Yes.
So, Ellie was kind enough to come on and tell us what is a water bike.
So, a water bike is exactly what it sounds like. It's a bike that you ride on the water.
So you see one of those those boats that can land on the water, and they have those big,
the pontoons.
Yeah, the big pontoons.
They have those big, thick landing gear, and that's kind of like this. They're the big, thick
pontoons
on the bottom.
Yeah.
Pontoons.
Big, ugly yellow pontoons.
But not everyone knows what a pontoon is. A big, thick, floaty thing underneath the water. It's set of tires, and that's what you ride on. So what propels you through the water on the water?
There's a little propeller that is connected to the pedals. So when you pedal, it pushes the propeller and you move.
You are propelling us through the water, apparently.
No, you're sitting in the front. You're pedaling. There's a two-person one, right?
There is a two-person one, but they're next to each other. They're not front and back.
Oh, that's even better. I can.
So you guys both have to work.
Otherwise, we'll just go in a circle.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, good. That'd be funny. Yeah. So I've broken things on these adventures before. Yes. What are the chances I'm going to break something today?
What someone wants to hear right before we take on their thing.
I mean, unless
I signed
sharks.
Waivers.
You guys will be fine.
Does anybody ever fall in is the question.
I'm not going to say it hasn't happened, but it doesn't happen often.
Does it involve alcohol usually when they fall in?
Yes. That's why we don't allow people if they're drinking.
Yeah, we only had one at lunch, so we're
just
good.
Just one plus food. We're good.
We're good.
Where do people usually go on the water bikes? They just go through the bay? What do they usually do?
Most often they go right down the river, or up the river, I guess, and you go right past the University of Tampa and Curtis Dixon Park. So you see the whole river walk. It's really pretty.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. How long does a trek like that take?
It takes an hour. So half an hour there, half an hour back.
What happens when the person calls at a half an hour and says, I'm too tired, I can't pedal this bike back?
You know, I'm not going to say that hasn't happened either. I bet. We have a little skiff, so we go out and rescue them.
Do you?
Yeah.
You drag them back?
We do.
You hook a rope,
just go give
them
some encouragement. And then
hopefully that won't happen to us today, but I think we're ready to go check them out, right?
Let's check them out.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm required to wear the life vest after a past accident, so I just wanted to say that. So what's the website?
It's www.tampawaterbikes.com.
Tampawaterbikes.com. This looks like a blast, everybody. We'll let you know how we do after and whether Jemmy's wet or not.
Thank
you. Maybe it's a good idea to get drinks after the water bikes instead of before.
Thanks, Ellie.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh. We just got off the water bikes. I loved them.
More than I did, I think.
I was having a good old time on those.
He was over there paddling away, and we were on a dual bike, which means we sat side by side.
Not tandem, because tandem's behind.
Yeah,
right?
So, this is dual, kind of side by side.
Yeah, and so I got to pedal in reverse anytime we wanted to turn. If we wanted to turn left, I had to paddle in reverse. While you paddled forward. Yeah. Anytime we turned right, it was the opposite.
One of the things, I'm a bike rider, and I like riding bike, but one of the things about this that was different was you could pedal as fast as you want. You were only going
one
speed.
Imagine being in the completely wrong, on a 10-speed bike and being the completely wrong gear.
that's what it felt like.
But you only go so fast. It's lovely. It's nice and calm on the water today, thankfully.
Yes.
It was nice. And it was great because we had just met up with our friends at Sail Pavilion. And one, Steve Keith, is a photographer. So he was standing there on the pier taking awesome, well, you assume we're awesome because his reputation precedes him, photos of us. So that was really fun. But I loved it. You know what I thought? This would be a perfect thing for someone to take a couple on a first date. Do you remember why?
Why? Because they can't get away.
They can't get away. And you're forced to talk to each other.
Unless they can swim really well. Exactly. They're not going anywhere.
It was really good. But
now,
I
people would
it.
Take those out for an hour. I think you'd be tired at the end of an
hour.
Totally
tired.
I really do.
Totally tired. So as if we had been out for an hour, we're going to relax now and take an e-boat ride with Kevin.
All right. Let's go do another boat ride.
Yay!
Where we don't pedal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Here we go.
We are now in a really cool spot. We have finished up riding the bikes, but now we're actually on a different boat. We're on an e-boat from E-Boats Tampa, which is set up right beside the paddle bikes. And we have Kevin with us. And Kevin, tell us, what is an e-boat?
So these boats are very unique. All electric, 12-passenger boats, and all run on battery power. So we get like 10 hours out of a charge.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's more than my phone does.
And right now we're at full throttle, and you probably can't hear much other than the waves and the wind.
This is a lot quieter than the couple boats we've been on for this show. Like the jet boat in Bahamas was much noisier than this.
This is what's really cool about these is you don't have to have a boater's license to drive them because they're not high power. They're just made.
Oh,
for cruising,
you don't?
Comfort.
Oh, really?
Nope.
Huh?
Nope.
Really?
25,
even carrying passengers?
Yeah, 25 years old with photo ID and credit card. That's all you have to have. They're low power. They're not high speed. And what's cool is most of the area down here is no wake zone, so you're not allowed to go fast anyway. So it's just for touring.
Describe where we are for people.
So right now we're kind of in the heart of downtown Tampa. That's where our location is. It's a perfect spot here. We're between the Hillsborough River, which heads right up north from our location, and then just south is Hillsborough Bay. As well as Harbor and Davis Island. So we're right in the middle of all the different little waterways here in downtown.
And now the direction you're heading, we're just turning, by the way, at the Gasparilla, the boat.
Yeah.
which Jemmy was so upset that we didn't get to see today, but they were nobody was down there, so we didn't get to see it. But this is like a celebrity right here.
Yeah, we'll do a little flyby right here. It's cool to just kind of see the Gasparilla move throughout the year as they get ready for Gasparilla. They'll clean it up and then have all the flags on the boat getting ready. And yeah,
what's it cost to get a ride on the Gasparilla during Gasparilla?
You have got to be in one of the crews to get on there. It's unfortunately, it's a
special
very private,
ride.
Yeah, very
invitation
private ride.
Only.
Right, but you can still do the actual invasion. You can on your own boats. There's a lot of we actually are not open for the Gasparilla invasion, but
probably safer that way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's
there's no drinking involved.
We actually are closed, but yeah.
So what do people rent your boats for mostly?
Oh, man, a little bit of everything. It's perfect for a lot of company outings, family. We have folks that they even own their own boats near it, but they don't want to deal with the hassle. They just want to be able to hop on, hop off.
Yeah.
You don't have to refuel these boats because they're all electric. So E is for electric, but it's also for easy. It's so easy. Our guys keep the boats nice and clean, as you can see.
And it looks like a party boat. I mean, it's set up for that. It has a fridge. It has the cup holders. It's ready.
Yep. We call them the golf cart of the seas. They're very user-friendly, very easy to operate. There's not much to it. Like right now, we're at full speed. We're going about 6 to 7 knots.
I will say that you're going faster than we did on the paddle bikes.
This is true. And we don't have to pedal, which is really nice.
It's all about relaxation. It's about hanging out. All the boats have this kind of wraparound limousine-style seating with a table in the middle. So they're all about kind of socializing, sightseeing, relaxing.
But how long do people typically go out for when they rent the bike?
So 2 hours is popular if you bring your own food and drinks. But what a lot of folks will do is do a 3 or 4 hour and be able to stop at different restaurants along the way.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. So right now we've got around.
You can make your own boat bar tour with one of these.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah,
you certainly could.
We do that.
Do they want the driver to be sober? Do you prefer that?
Yeah. Can't be over 0.08 alcohol level. That's Florida state law. It's just like driving a car. It's the same penalties as well. So
as people take them out and go and restaurant and bar hopping, how do they figure out exactly where to hook up the, what do you call it?
The dock lines. Yep. So you've got the lines with you, and we'll do a little tutorial on how to tie off the boat properly, but it's also on your little map that you have on the boat as well.
Okay, what's the strangest party you've ever had?
I plead the fifth.
It's the one you can't talk about.
Yeah, but no, I mean, what's the strangest thing it's ever been rented for?
I know,
probably weddings and different wedding parties and
all
bridal
sorts
parties.
Of anniversaries,
and,
weddings, we do all kinds of proposals.
I can see that.
Once every week or two, there's a proposal.
Yeah. I can see that with the city in the back. It's beautiful today by everybody. It is sunny and beautiful, and you can hear the splashing here.
Yeah, and it's gorgeous views of downtown. Once you go way up the river, that's gorgeous too. You have a lot of overhanging trees. It's really pretty up there.
Can people take them out overnight?
No, we close at 10.
Bring them back.
We close at 10. So, but so we do a lot of specials during the day, but at night, very popular around sunset.
I bet.
You go out in the bay in the open water for sunset, and then after dark, these first 5 bridges light up and change colors every few seconds, and that's a really cool ride.
Oh, that's cool. I hope we're here after dark tonight.
It's cool.
I could see it'd be a very dangerous situation if you guys let people take these out overnight.
No, they don't go anywhere near the cruise ships, right? Because that's good. That's good.
American Victory would take care of that.
No, yeah. So, I mean, you can see them, obviously, from where we are when you go around the corner here. Great views of downtown. Nice.
We're right in front of the Tampa Convention Center right now. And then, of course, you got the big game we talked about going on today, which has brought a lot of people into town. I didn't know hockey was still that popular, by the way.
Oh, it's been cool to watch not only the growth of downtown, but everybody in the hockey world as well. It's very cool to be a part of it. We have our own... We're partnered with the Lightning. They sponsor our Bolt boat. It's got all the Lightning logos and everything, and very cool, very cool. So
how do people rent one? What do they do?
So to rent one, just call our you'd have to call our reservation line. It's 813-767-2245. But go to eBoats Tampa first, and that's going to answer a lot of your questions. All the pricing is right there. A lot of videos on and pictures of the boats. A lot of people wonder kind of how they're laid out, and that's all there on the website for you. A lot of cool stuff on our Facebook page. Right now we've got a naming contest going for our newest boat.
Oh, nice.
We're doing a $250 giveaway if you tag and like, and we choose you to choose the name. So, but yeah, we do a lot of cool little stuff, and the boats are so fun and easy and...
Very awesome. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for coming out. It's a beautiful day. You picked a great day.
So So we just got off of the e-boats with Kevin.
Did.
And it was so much fun.
He
really was
great.
It was relaxing. I would do that.
I would.
And the prices, we looked at prices after, they were not bad.
Guys, honestly, if you have a group, because you can take up to 12 people on that thing.
It was like, if you go out for 4 hours, it's 60 an hour.
And it's so cheap. And he meant it when he was true. You could literally do that for less than it takes to go to a movie.
Really?
It's so awesome. And I can imagine being out there. It's your own private party. It's just
there are some
so
of the things
nice.
We do in our adventures that I go, okay, 10 minutes that we get to do it
we're
before
over
we have
it.
To move on, we're over it. That
we
was one I could have spent 4 hours. Matter of fact, I was going to rent it so we didn't have to walk the rest of the way, and we could have just taken the boat down.
I know, but then we would have just not gotten off the boat anyway. It would have just been an 8-hour e-boat podcast.
Which might have gotten boring after a while. I don't know. But so now where are we off to next?
Now we are going
to
the HB Plant Museum.
To head north up the Riverwalk.
Yeah, HB Plant Museum. And what's exciting about this one is it shows the gilded golden age of like the Victorian era of Americana. And this is going to be a nice setup for us for next month because we have to get fancy.
That's right. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know how we're doing this.
Oh my gosh. If you guys know us at all, we are not fancy.
We're doing
folk.
What? The high end of Fort Lauderdale.
Yes. We're going to find the fancy in Fort Lauderdale.
That's a good name. I like it. All right, everybody. We're going to continue walking. We'll let you know.
Yay, here we go.
And we're also going to see if we can find any characters along the way. And there's a game here today, so I think there's characters.
Oh, the lightning bolts are on. Oh yeah, they're mini parades of
yeah.
of fans.
Earlier.
They're awesome.
All right, let's continue walking.
Woo.
We are here with Susan Carter at the HB Plant Museum, which is an incredibly gorgeous building here. Tell us a little bit. Well, first of all, what is your role here at the museum, Susan?
Yes, hello. I'm Susan Carter, and I'm the curator of collections, and also I serve as the registrar.
Awesome. How long has this place been around? What's a little bit of the history of where we're standing now?
Well, the hotel opened. This was the Tampa Bay Hotel. It opened in 1891.
A few years ago.
Yes, yes.
It's been around just a little
obviously,
bit.
Obviously, it was a high-end hotel.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes, a lot of winter visitors would come down by way of rail. Many of them had their own Pullman Palace rail cars, and that's how they would travel.
And they would stay here all winter.
They could. Yeah. We really don't know how long each one stayed because we don't have the guest registers for every single year. But we do know that the hotel was open December through April in the early years.
So what kind of family names people would recognize that stayed here back then?
Well, the Roosevelts, of course. Teddy Roosevelt and his wife Edith came when he was here for the Spanish-American War in 1898, and that was one of the most significant times in the period of the hotel. And that's why we have National Historic Landmark status on our building today.
Oh, because of the Teddy Roosevelt time?
Because of the 30,000 troops that were camped in and around Tampa. Many of the officers stayed in the hotel. This was the headquarters, and it just really put
nice
us on the map.
When they were here, didn't they?
They certainly did. They certainly did. So you can step back in time, and we want visitors to feel like they've gone back into the 1890s from the original lighting, the original paint colors, and the original furnishings. That's what really
if these
sets
are original.
Us apart.
I'm seeing beautiful chairs. I'm seeing the fireplaces with the ornamentation. I'm just seeing everything that looks like it might be from then.
Yes, we really have a walk back in time with the original collection from the hotel. Many, many of the original pieces that grace the main lobby and the grand salon and the corridors throughout the building. Mr. and Mrs. Plant made world tours and collected all of these things to put in the Tampa Bay Hotel, and we're very fortunate to have them left here today.
I'm seeing here on the wall that it has a nice, beautiful portrait of Henry Bradley Plant. And it says underneath, it calls him the King of Florida, and it says that he is the expressman who grasped the golden opportunity and founded a vast transportation system. What was his influence on transportation here?
Yes, Mr. Plant brought the railroad to Tampa in 1884 and also established a deep water port here. So that was perfect for the Spanish-American War troops to come here by way of rail. They reached here by Henry Plant's plant system, rail system. And then they also were able to travel from Tampa down to Cuba on his steamships.
Sounds like he was a major influence in what happened and how Tampa even became how it grew, the history here.
It really was.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh. And so when people come here, they can really, almost like stepping back into Victorian times. What are some of the things they're going to see when they come here?
You'll get to see a wonderful collection of decorative arts and furniture from the Gilded Age, from the Tampa Bay Hotel. We have over 20 Venetian-style mirrors that are really glistening as you walk down the halls. Lots and lots of artworks from Asia. They loved the Asian influence, and you can see from the architecture outside, it's Moorish Byzantine in style, with Victorian verandas that sweep around, minarets that crown the rooftop. It's just an amazing property.
You can see this from across the city. I mean, it's really cool that way,
yes,
especially from
can.
The river with the what do you call them?
The tower thing.
The minarets.
Minarets. See, we learned a new word today.
We did learn a word today.
We actually have 6 minarets on the rooftop, 4 cupolas, and 3 large domes.
Looks like they have a moon crest or something.
And
at the
they
very
are.
Top.
They're all crowned with a crescent moon on the top, and that was because Henry Plant loved exotic Moorish Byzantine architecture. Ooh. We're located in Tampa, Florida, in the heart of the city. We face downtown. We're right on the edge of the Hillsborough River. The physical address is 401 West Kennedy.
And you have a website,
and we have a website, plantmuseum.com. Go there, and it gives lots of information, and we're happy to help.
Thank you so much, Susan. You've been a gem. Oh my gosh, so we have a random, not so random, sort of semi-setup surprise, a random find today. We are with the crew of Leanne's Cheesecakes, Joseph and Leanne, and we are so excited.
I don't know how that got the name.
I have no idea how you guys thought of it. I was taking you all day.
Yeah, you must have spent hours on that.
So we're so excited because we first met these guys back at PodFest and had a taste of their cheesecakes, and they're a local company to Tampa, the Tampa area, so we thought, let's give them a call.
A local company that knows social media.
Yes.
They do very well with social media.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank
you. So tell us how you guys started the company.
So we started the company by being at a chamber event and Joseph starting another company. He was going to do a news and organization style, kind of like a podcast, but more of a
vlog than a podcast, but it was going to include podcasting as well. And then we heard Toffee To Go, another local Tampa company, give their story on what happened and how they grew from their family recipe.
So I looked at him and I said, hey, I could totally do this with cheesecake.
So are these family recipes?
Yes, the cheesecake is a family recipe of mine. And I literally looked at him and was like, we could do this. So I quit my job 3 days later.
What?
And we jumped in.
She do that when she met you, jump in with both feet?
Yeah, we got engaged 21 days after meeting, so kind of,
wow, she really did.
I'm sensing a theme.
Yes.
Yeah, so we found out that cheesecake melted in Florida.
It does do that, yes. Yeah.
So we had to find
everything melts in Florida.
We're melting right now.
Yes. So we found out that glass works perfectly to insulate a cheesecake, and we bake them right in the jar. The jar is keeping cold and fresh for about 3 or 4 hours outside. So you can grab them and go and enjoy them like at the...
How many of these cheesecakes have you made now?
Oh, gosh.
Tens of thousands?
Thousands of cheesecakes.
Yeah. What is
Are you tired of seeing cheesecake in a jar?
I am literally doing it in my sleep. The whole process, everything.
Yeah, the
like
smell
I...
of hot cheese to us is a little off-turning right now.
Oh,
but,
no!
But we understand that cold cheese is perfectly, once it's already refrigerated and set for consumption, then it's good.
So now, when you ask a parent who has multiple children... Who's your favorite? They have one, but they never want to tell you. I'm going to ask you, which is your favorite flavor?
Because you have
cheesecake?
Like 1,000 flavors.
Yeah. I would say my favorite that we do is our turtle. That one has salted caramel, chocolate ganache, and pecans on top of that. That one's my favorite.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, and mine, we actually put a new flavor out there called Death by Peanut Butter, which is because I'm a peanut butter fiend and I got tired of seeing Death by Chocolate out there for everybody else.
Or if you're allergic to peanuts, it literally is Death by Peanut Butter.
Yeah, so it's a pun included.
It will die.
It's a warning, and if you're a peanut butter fiend, it's like, hey, we got peanut butter here.
Definitely.
So we're going to ask you what we were asking people earlier that we met is, why do you like Tampa?
I mean, personally, I've been born and raised in Tampa Bay. And to me, seeing this area finally start to reach its potential with the energetic entrepreneurial community here.
It truly is that.
Yeah.
I've met a lot of them because I've been to a couple of those meetings, the TBBO meetings and Tampa Bay Business Owners meetings. And it's incredible. There's nothing like that anywhere else I've been.
There's a vibrancy.
Yeah. With us having the Entrepreneur Collaborative Center in Ybor host 1 million cups every week, that's a really solid start for us. It's with the Kauffman Foundation. It's over 100 chapters throughout the United States now, and it's part of Tampa. really helps companies pitch something like the Shark Tank without teeth, and it really helps grow the community here.
Well, thank you so much for meeting us today. We know you guys had to take time out of
And you brought us cheesecake.
What
you got? So cookie dough.
Yeah, we brought you cookie dough.
Death by peanut butter.
A guava.
Oh, guava. Cream, I want to try guava.
A death by chocolate. And then we also have a strawberry.
Oh, that's very happy.
We're set up here. Today.
I love that.
Well, thank you so much
thank
to both
guys.
Of you.
What's the website?
Yeah. It's www.leanns. It's LEANNS. The word cheesecakes, the letter N as in Nancy, and then MORE.com.
And that cheesecakes has an S, right? Yes. Cheesecakes.
Lee's, okay. Leanne, cheesecakes, and more.
Or you can find us on social media at Cheesecake and More.
And they'll definitely be in our show notes for sure.
Yes, yeah. We'll put them in our show notes. And thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Feeding
Guys,
us. We really
us
appreciate
cheesecake.
It.
Thank you.
Now it's time for our episode wrap-up, which we do at the end of every one of our adventures. We kind of reflect a couple days later on what happened. And I think Jemmy is reflecting on how sore her legs are.
How sore my legs are, how dehydrated I was, how hot I was, how stupid I was to drink so much alcohol and not enough water. Yeah, reflecting on a lot of things today.
It's true. We had a great day. It was beautiful weather in Tampa Bay.
It could have been more
beautiful. The next day, we lost power here in Ocala. It rained. It poured. It was thunder and lightning all day.
The storms chased us right out.
It did.
But they let us have a great adventure day.
Hey, we got out of Tampa. I didn't hit storms until I drove into my driveway at home. But it was. First, let's start with the hotel. The hotel is magnificent.
Oh my god!
It's called the.
Le Meridian.
Yeah, you heard it in the episode. It was a really nice hotel, and I would definitely stay there again if I could afford.
It was amazing. It was. You know, I loved that there was history just baked into our experience of just staying in a hotel, because it used to be the courthouse, and you know everyone heard all about it. But there was just something. I don't know, creepy is not the word, because it was beautiful. It was just something a little bit strange about being in a place. No, sorry.
Let's share a little bit about Jemmy's past. She spent a lot of time in courts and
on the right side of the law, guys, on the right side of the law. Okay. I went to court, represented a whole, companies and stuff. So yeah, I've spent a lot of time in courthouses. And so it was a little strange feeling like, especially when, because we were on our rooms are on the fourth floor. And I remember when we got off the elevator the first time, when we walked around, it just was like, wait a minute, are we supposed to be here? Because it's a historic building, so everything looks just the same. So it was a little bit weird, but it was so beautiful and just well done. I mean, my gosh, I loved every single inch of that place. It was just, it was dazzling. It was dazzling.
I was happy there was nobody being walked around in handcuffs.
I was a little disappointed I didn't see a ghost. I was hoping for a ghost. I don't know of whom, but I was hoping for a ghost.
A mafia boss or something.
That would have been awesome.
The rooms were huge. And I have to say something about the rooms.
Well, mine was way bigger than yours. Haha.
Yeah.
I literally told the bell captain, I said, when we go up there, just put me in the better room. And he did.
He did. Yours was twice the size of mine. And you're about half the size of me. So there we go. But the rooms, because they were the original meeting rooms and courtrooms and offices, they couldn't change them. All they did was add their bathrooms, and they were huge. There was a wedding, a very loud wedding on our floor, literally two doors down from our hotel room. And when you were in the hallway, it was loud. And I don't know about you, but my room that night with the wedding going on, as soon as you shut the door, I didn't hear anything.
Nothing. And you know what? Because I think our rooms were judge's chambers. So I can only imagine they had to really build that to be super secretive. I imagine they don't want people outside putting their ears up or glass up to the wall and trying to hear anything. You know, those walls are thick.
I didn't hear any traffic noise outside. There was nothing.
No. I mean, if you want a peaceful night's sleep, Meridian,
been in any of our usual places that we stay in, we would have heard the wedding very loud.
Oh, yeah. Two doors, please. Yeah. It wasn't like we were there. Crashing it without any of the benefits of drink or alcohol or food.
So, all right. Awesome. Well, that was the hotel. And thank you so much for Le Meridien.
And just a quick shout out to Courtney and Cody. They served us breakfast and they were so good. I love both of those. The breakfast. Oh, I'm still thinking
pancakes
about those
pile was bigger than Jimmy's head.
I know. I felt like like such a failure. I could barely make my way through, but it was so good. So shout out to them.
It was good. And again, thank you to the good folks from Visit Tampa Bay,
yes.
Who you heard from in the last episode. And they were terrific in helping put that together.
Absolutely.
Then we did the Riverwalk. And of course, it was we're not going to go through everything. We wouldn't have time. But, you know, a highlight for me had to be the meetup we did with fellow podcasters.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
We had so much fun. And yeah. I hope that you still have the audio of you doing the New York accent with Diane, our friend. If you do, we're going to play it at the end of this episode. So hang on through the music. We will play Jemmy doing a riff in the best Brooklyn accent right in front of the girl with the Brooklyn accent.
I love Diane, and she was getting on me about not inviting her personally to the FPN Insiders on Facebook, and I had to set her straight. I did it the best way I could.
He went on and on. It was funny.
So awesome. We got to it was meet hilarious. Friends that we've known for a while, like Diane, friends that we've known virtually, like Stephanie, friends, you know, new friends. It was just, it was a great time. And then, wow, to see the crowd come through for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Yeah. My goodness, those are some.
I didn't know hockey was still as popular as it is, but I talked to some people from Tampa and they said, yeah, they love their hockey.
Yeah,
so,
they were awesome.
You could tell.
And major shout out to Columbia Cafe, because before we got to the Sail Pavilion, I had to get a Cuban sandwich there. You were not happy with me because we were running late. I was like, oh, I have to get it. And these people at Columbia Cafe, man, did they bust their butts getting me that Cuban sandwich so we wouldn't be very late meeting our friends at Sail Pavilion. And it was delicious. So it was on the fly and delicious.
It's really good.
Yeah. And it's right there at the History Center. So big shout out and thank you to them for giving us that. It was so,
and a Columbia Cafe
yummy.
Is an arm of the Columbia Restaurant, which is the oldest restaurant in Florida.
Yep.
So it was really cool. Yeah. Some history involved there too.
Yeah.
I'd like to go back and just eat dinner there. The other stuff looked really good as
it
well.
It did.
You know, one of the things, if we take a look at an overall impression, by the way, we never did finish. We have to qualify this. We kind of finished the challenge. This might be the first time we sort of a little bit failed.
Petered out.
Because
maybe lost a little gas at the end.
Yeah, it was 2.5 miles, but I think we walked about 6. And if you consider alcohol-induced slowness, maybe 8. So we walked and we got down to the end and we got on, which are a great way to get around on the Riverwalk down there, the pirate taxis. Pirate water taxis yeah. are a great way to get around. They run and they're efficient.
That they have all those stops. For some reason, I thought it was just the north end and the south end. And they're
stops all the way along.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
And they're very efficient. The people are very nice. And for like $20 or whatever, you get all day worth mm-hmm. of riding. So it's a good way to get back and forth, which mm-hmm. we should have done.
The whole day. It would have made the whole day much easier.
Exactly.
It would have been river water taxiing.
So by the time that night, it was about 6:30, we got on the water taxi to head back all the way to our car at the other end of the Riverwalk. I looked at Jemmy and I said, do you want to record our last part? And
there was no recording happening. You know, I felt really bad because everyone had been telling us about Armature Works and how great it was. You got to taste this and got to taste that. And I was so jazzed up to get there. It was going to be the end of this amazing day. I'm like, I'm going to be starving and ready to go. And when we got there, I was like, oh, Glenn.
And it was mob.
I'm tired.
It was
I'm dehydrated. Mob. I just need to sit here and just rest.
And it was so loud. It was mob.
I felt so bad. So then when we left and went to the water taxis, you know, just to kind of see Armature getting smaller and smaller. Again in the distance, I was like, one day I will be back. Armature Works, I will do it right. I promise.
Yeah, that end of the Riverwalk was packed. I mean, it was just packed with people. And there were 4 proms or 6 proms or whatever. There were thousands of proms going on.
Gosh.
And there were thousands of kids in their tuxes and their dresses and mom and dad's everywhere taking pictures.
You know,
a beautiful spot for a prom.
I know your favorite thing was meeting our friends. My favorite thing throughout the day was just all the randomness we saw. Like all the kids dressed up in prom dresses, just everywhere as far as the eye could see.
those guys on gorilla costumes riding on jet skis up the river.
We never did quite figure out the gorilla guys in the costumes so riding jet random. Skis at about 100 miles an hour.
You know, the hockey fan parades, and it was just, there was so much random. That place is so alive with, it's just, there's a vibrancy to that whole area that I just loved. And I loved Captain Gary Brooks on the American Victory ship.
Yes.
He was so great, guys. He's a chaplain. And I don't remember if this got caught in the audio or not, but he made a joke about balls. And I thought it was the funniest thing in the world.
You did. You were like, cracking up.
Wow. I thought our priests were loose. This guy's awesome. It was a great day.
It was a great day. It was a terrific day, and I highly advise. It's probably one of the nicer river walks we've done so far.
Yes, yes.
Because of it not being built up.
Yeah, and I definitely
not being touristified.
Not touristified. It's true. Yeah.
And the boating stuff there, I would take out that e-boat any day with a group for hours. It was cheap. It was lovely.
My goodness.
And the river is cool.
Calculate less than a cost of a movie. It really does. If you get enough people on that thing, you have it all day. I mean, kind of a no-brainer. And you don't have to have a license to take it out, which I just was shocked by. I'm like, ooh, when do I... No.
And there are docks everywhere, so it's not like you can't park it, you know, and go to a restaurant, eat, or whatever. It was cool.
Yeah,
I would do that.
Absolutely. Sure. So I learned a big lesson in hydration. I need to drink more water. Yeah,
we both need to drink more water.
All around.
We definitely need to do that. So what are we doing next month?
Oh, gosh. Next month, we are going to Fort Lauderdale. And we had to make a slight adjustment, guys, because somebody has to have shoulder surgery tomorrow. Boo! I'm just kidding, Glenn. We wish you nothing but the best. So we were going to do gaming and stuff, arcades, escape room, and that type of thing. But we're going to shelve that for a later date. And instead, we're going to be highlighting in Fort Lauderdale their revitalization. So Glenn and I, we're going to find the fancy in Fort Lauderdale, and we're so excited.
Do I need my suit?
You're going to wear a suit. Hey, you have to. If I have to wear heels, you have to wear a suit.
No, I might be in a suit with a sling. I have to kind of figure out how I'm going to do that.
We'll work it through.
I'll buy a fancy sling.
There you go. There you go. And it's going to be a good time. We don't have the details up yet, but I'm sure we'll have it ready for you soon. Go to findingfloridapodcast.com/nextadventure for those details.
Very good. And of course, you can find all of our show notes and all the information about Finding Florida Podcast at findingfloridapodcast.com. Mm-hmm. We're also on the Horse Radio Network app. You can search for Horse Radio Network in the App Store, iOS or Android, and you'll find a Finding Florida show there, as well as every other place you get your podcasts.
And Florida Podcast Network has a brand new site.
Yeah,
so I want you guys to go and check it out. And
Jemmy did a lot of hard work on that.
Oh, thanks. I tried.
You did. You did a great job.
I appreciate it.
That's fine. And that's the FloridaPodcastNetwork.com.
FloridaPodcastNetwork.com. You're going to see all the shows, episodes, and some fun Florida stuff in there, too.
Well, thank you, everybody, for coming along with us. And thank you to Kevin and the gang over at Visit Tampa Bay. They were troopers and really helped put all this together.
Standing ovation, round of applause, yes. Like all of it.
And I think it's visittampabay.com,
yep,
isn't it?
Visittampabay.com. Okay.
So definitely check them out if you're heading to Tampa Bay. There's lots of good stuff on there, actually. It was a very helpful website.
Great website.
And he was one of the best. He was terrific to work with. And we thank all of them over there for all the hard work they put into making this episode happen. That's it. We also want to thank our sponsor.
Yeah, the crew at Leanne's Cheesecakes, Joseph and Leanne themselves, they met us out there and gave us some yummy cheesecake. We love them. They are so great. So thank you again to them. If you want to find your own jar of delicious, yummy cheesecake, go to their website, leannscheesecakesandmore.com. That's www.leannscheesecakes, with an S, the letter N, more.com, or give Joseph a call at 813-445-3861.
We'll see you next month, everybody, and here's to your next adventure.
Well, here I am now talking about it. Right?
Yeah.
SBN Insiders is a group. It's a closed group on Facebook, all right?
All right?
You're listening up over here. Okay, you need to go to Facebook. You need to go search for SBN Insiders. And that should be it. When it comes up, you need to click the damn button, all right? Enough of your excuses over there, Diane. You hear me?
I hear you.
All right.